This is 22 June 1972. Interview with Major Wade Loving, Senior Advisor to the 44th Regiment of the 23rd Armored Division in Khartoum. Go ahead.
Okay. The background behind this, the 44th was separated from the 23rd Division initially at Song Mao, which was operated as a separate regiment. Then it was moved up to An Khe to secure the An Khe Pass and retake it at what the NVA had taken it back in April.
Were you under rock control when you retook the pass?
That's a negative. The AO line was right in the middle of the pass almost, and not quite. Just on the western side of the pass were the lines of the AO. The rocks had complete responsibility for the pass, although we assisted them to take it back when it came time to take it back.
Did you take many casualties?
Yes, we did. A recon company especially took a lot of casualties. The rest of the division not too well. It was very a very good operation. It was a combination of Harding, for the first time I've really seen him do it, used a combination of armor and infantry very well. The operation consisted of the 3rd Armored Cav Regiment and the 44th. It was a armored combination of tanks, APCs, and infantry, which was done in a very good way. Have my buddy cut it off.
Hello, sir!
Okay,
roughly how many casualties did you take it on, Kay?
That was 50-something.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many wounded?
I've forgotten.
Were you reconstituted before you arrived up here?
Yeah, no, we were about, we got some replacement.
Sir? I tell you, the best thing to do, sir, is go around this way and go up over there.
Drive?
Walk around it, sir.
Which way? Out the main road?
No, right here. You see one tank right there.
We were halfway instituted, and after that, the XO and myself brought two battalions, as you were. Two battalions at this time were attached for operations at Pleiku. Our 1st and 4th battalions.
Who were they attached to?
They were attached to a provisional headquarters under the Corps commander for the defense of Pleiku. Mm-hmm. So what happened, the XO was called up in Song Mao, and I, being a deputy at that time, came with him with a white CP, and we moved to Fire Base 42. We stayed there about a week, and then after that, we got the word to move up here and join the division.
Did you have any contact at Fire Base 42?
Negative. Negative mm-hmm. contact. Then after that, the other two battalions, which were still at Song Mao, where the regimental commander came forward about a week later, and then we were deployed up to Khartoum around about the 13th or 12th or 13th. And then immediately after we got here, the regiment was consolidated. Two battalions went north of town on the road, and one battalion went in the reserve around the CP.
Mm-hmm.
To be exact, the first day we were up on the road there, we were replacing Rangers. We went in their CP, and we figured their CP was too close to the front line, to be exact, it was on the front line. We took 105 fire.
Was it reserve fire?
It was reserve. It was adjusted in. My bunker took a direct hit right over my head while I was asleep. It happened, I wasn't there. And
you caved the bunker in?
Yep. It went, caved in a didn't go through the PSP, but the pressure broke a lot. It went around and pushed the PSP down. Okay, then after that, we moved back, and on the night of 14th, about 4 o'clock in the morning, we got hit with armored and infantry attack up on the first two battalions.
This is a side of QL-14.
Right, and we got hit with armored and infantry, and they hollered tanks, and at that time, the next thing the word I got was two tanks knocked out. So the Arvin had used the law and found out at close range it would stop the T-54 tank.
Uh-huh.
So then on, it was by the time daylight broke, we got plenty of attack here. I think we had everything we asked for. We got gunships, VNAP A1Es, F4s, all I've forgotten that number sorted, but we put in attack here all day long. And at the end of the day, reestablished, got a hit again that night. wasn't quite as heavy, but it broke off before daylight. What had happened, they got behind us. They had an element in front of us, an element behind us, an element on our flank. Our flank was not secure. Other units had not joined us. And that's the night we used Spectre, the C-130, came in, and I adjusted all around the perimeter position that night, relaying them from the Harbin back to the regimental CO, back to me, and I talked to the thing and adjusted. The next morning we went out and we found about 26 dead in the area where we'd put Spectre in with the 40
millimeter. Describe what you saw. How were they dressed?
They were NVA. They were dressed with a kind of a green uniform. They were real muddy, but they were green with the Ho Chi Minh sandals, AK-47s. And these were mainly sapper units. Some of them that got behind them were sappers. Not too many full automatic weapon crew served. But a lot of explosive charges, trying to get in close to really do the guys in.
Uh-huh.
As you see this area, Johnny, there's a blue artillery coming here.
You better believe it.
My 292 up there, one day I had two of them cut down at the same time from around hitting right here. That's a long way to wait, too. And so after that, we got hit one more time. It was the third attack was kind of weak, and at that time we were put in reserve and called back to... this location. Be careful walking around here. You see, these M79s, they're highly
go off.
Okay, we came back and replaced the 45th who was here, and they came up and took our place. The road I'm talking to you about is right up there. You see that road right there?
Right.
See those woods over there? We were, regimental CP was in those woods. Up in front of it on the other little slope hill there is another road. Is where
pointing
I'm talking
north.
I'm pointing northwest right now.
Okay.
We were over there in that batch of woods, and we're talking about, that's how close contact we're talking about. About 3 or 4 kilometers.
Okay. Right over there. The ridge from here, right over there?
Right.
Over right there. Behind us. A bit around.
And what happened was, the VC came in from that way, got behind us with troops, and they got in front of us, and they came in from this side. And I think they really planned to do us in, but the gunships came in there and really, we were putting in cobras right on top of our troops. So they were in the bunkers and they call in, and the cobras did a beautiful job. And the Spectre at nighttime. Okay, we moved back here. In reserve, somewhere around the 27th, 28th. And the first night we got back here, took us 2 days to make a swap, 45th. It was 3 days, correction, 3 days to swap over. Harbin takes an extra day to do it. So we came back here and came in reserve. And we only occupied, as you see right here. And we left this area up here open because there's supposed to be a perimeter around the place. 45th and 53rd are supposed to have a perimeter on the outside of us. So we weren't really worried about a main threat back here. We were supposed to be in reserve. Okay, that morning, which I think was 28th, about 5 o'clock, a guy hollered, tanks and infantry. Well, there's the tank. You see it right there. That's the line. And they really were eating us up. General Hill, to be exact, came in. Thank God he got up early that morning. He came in with 2 gunships, just a break of day. And he came in and brought those cobras. That perimeter line you see right there is on a 9-0 grid line. And we told him anything north of 9-0 was free game. And he brought his cobras down, and it's so close with a gunship that he separated the infantry from the tanks. They made the tanks sitting ducks for our people. But they were initially solid with infantry. This is an artillery position over here. And they were in the perimeter. They had broke our perimeter over here. The reason I know why is because there was a building there, but they've taken it down. You see right there. And as late as 7 o'clock, I came up out of the hole.
In the morning?
Right. I came up out of the hole, came over here, and the enemy had a machine gun in that building there, firing away the artillery over here. And I went back and got an M79 from a soldier, came back up and got right there. Got an M79 right over here. Got 2 of them. Went over, and the guy went over and placed up the machine gun. His body was still over there, covered up with dirt. Shot him, I wanted it. This is as late as 7 o'clock. We were still in the damn perimeter. My boys were still fighting like mad here. You can see here that tank is pretty close.
Yep.
Is it a T-54? Yes, a T-54. But the point to notice here is the gun is not elevated for direct fire. All of them are that way. I don't understand. They use them for indirect fire out in the field to shell Khantoum. And they came in here. Every tank I've found, which I've personally seen 4 in this area, every one of them has got an elevation for indirect fire. As you can see, it's not lowered. And I think their threat was to come in here and scare the troops and run over them. And figured they'd break and run as they did at TAM camp. But it didn't work. As you can see, there's a shell, 100-millimeter shell. The gun was full of it. One tank had one round in there. And you see right there is elevation. And as you can see, a little hole right beneath the little green mark there.
Uh-huh.
That's where the slum gun sitting right there in that hole. Shot him a little off. Knocked him out. There was a captain in the North Vietnamese Army in there. We shot him and took his K-54.
Did you have any prisoners?
No.
What are you going to do with the K-54?
Regimental commander got it. I get the next one. Okay. Right here is where they were. They were all the way down this line here, starting here down that way, all the way through these buildings. And the fight that morning was between these holes and those buildings. And as I said, they had broken through over here. Back into here. And we'll walk the line here. Enemy and the friendlies about 50 yards apart, nothing but a little strip of road here on the, and took us 14 days starting here to go north with initially one battalion started on this side, and we weren't making any progress, so we tried to go around through over here, flank them to the east side, and they had such a strong force over there, they had several 51 calibers up there. We could not get in from that direction, even using tanks because of barbed wire, etc. We could not, the 41 tank could not get over.
Yeah, airstrikes in it here.
Yeah, we had some airstrikes in there, and very few, though. But the buildings looked like it had a lot because the fight was so close together, the airstrikes really couldn't be used. We got, I think, about six sorties of air in there, mainly A1Es. One A1E came in to give us some support one day and got shot out right here because they had plenty of automatic weapons.
Where is the plane at?
He went over this way and bailed out. But they had about 8 51 calibers supporting this area to include 12.7s, 14s, everything. Through the whole area, the regiment was over here. And this water tower I was telling you about is where they call snipers climbed up in there and fired at us in the morning and daylight, crawled up at nighttime. And these buildings at this time were solid buildings. This was all done by artillery and mortar. Now, we did use artillery a lot.
Direct fire?
No, right over here, not far away. We started here. We started out and started flanking to the east. We couldn't flank them, so we decided to come back and flank them from the west. Well, that took about 3 days to get in there because we wanted to move at nighttime. And they did move at nighttime and had to cut wire and stuff to get through and get in position. And then we flanked them. All this time, the VC were capable of resupplying, taking their wounded out, bringing fresh soldiers in from over here because they secured this flank here. Which they could go right out in those woods over there. And that outside perimeter, it just wasn't there. So they were resupplying and taking the wounded out and everything. Plus, there's a lot of ammunition was left up there by the airborne. You can see all the grenade boxes there. I'll show you later. With nothing but boxes. So MVA was grabbing our grenades. So we influenced through myself and the thing. The only way to do this thing is at nighttime. So that's when we started moving at nighttime. As you can see from the east side, they had it boxed in. They had a battalion or two battalions over here, battalion up here, and a battalion up here. And they attacked from all sides at the same time. These guys held this flank over here. As I can show you mounds of dirt out there. We finally got them to cover up dead bodies, but they killed quite a few out there. Airstrikes, automatic weapons. And the area was, had about, up in this area was four automatic anti-aircraft weapons. To include this compound over here. And over here, four more.
You're going to have to make a sketch of this if you can. And then you can come back and correlate it with the tape.
And maybe they can give you one of those little maps we got. We got a city map, Asheville city map, and it really shows you. This is a 9-0 line I was telling you about, this roof. Right down through here. Okay, you want to walk up here?
Sure.
Not for your tape, but. One day I was out here down in the corner there, we see a truck down there.
Right.
Guys were in that building there. I was throwing hanging eggs, little arms couldn't reach. Hey, that was down there. That's an invention I'm going to capitalize on and send it to the infantry board. What it is form with a box of sand with C4. So this is where the battle was. Started right here.
What do you have out here now?
We got a company up there.
How many tanks were in your area?
Four.
There's two we've seen so far.
Yeah.
What are the other two?
One of them, by the way, was out of gas. Never was knocked out. Just gave out of gas. Bad planning on the bad guy's fault. All we did was put gas in and drove it out of here. There was bootstrapped with a couple of grenades inside. This tank, the tanks, by the way, I don't understand why the NVA did this. He brought the tank in through a build-up area, would channelize them into the street areas of the town, of the hospital complex. Which this tank got up here and got where he had to turn around. And when he tried to turn around, they hit him.
Where'd they hit him?
I think this mainly right here was hitting the fuel tank. So something. I haven't figured out where he's at. But he burned first night. They hit him. And you see the body over there. It's part of a body left over there.
Deployed in pairs, or did they operate singly?
They
were they mutually supporting?
They came up in pairs, but not mutually supporting. One was over there going down that street, and this one's coming down this street, you know? I haven't figured out yet.
They never heard of Fort Knox, I suppose.
They're taking more of them.
I guess the head of the armor, the Russian army, is going to get relieved.
Yeah.
They did the same damn thing at Anlach.
Yeah, they'd have come across that field there to our east and started deploying those 100 millimeter guns over there about 500 meters away, which they could have.
You'd have had trouble.
We'd been a long day. It would have been a long day. Like I said, there's still a lot of frightened stuff in here. Here's a bunker, this type thing I'm telling you about.
See that? Underground bunker. Here's another one right here. I can show you.
Major Loving further. This is a continuation of the interview on the other tape. Major Loving further states that the airborne tow helped destroy the other two tanks of the total of four that were attacking his positions. The two were total of six. The two were behind him. He also stated while I was changing the tape that they had, it was mainly a hand grenade fight, bunker to bunker. The artillery, once they began their house-to-house, bunker-to-bunker fighting wasn't really that effective.
Too close. Okay, this bunker here you see, they were in... They policed up about 32 bodies in this bunker. This bunker you see here, I went up with a helicopter, a command ship, or a tow, and we used a tow against the bunker. We hit three of the big bunkers here that were throwing them up. When we went up, this bunker here was one of them. You can see it was a heavily built bunker, and we took the tow, and we hit it from above. Plus, we hit two other bunkers that were giving us trouble. And with the tow missile, which pretty well did a job on the... on the bunkers, but we still had some of them. We could not identify that were inside buildings. The bunkers built within the buildings that to house the wounded people during a rocket attack, and we could not see. And the tow was not affected. I'm carrying now, John. This is a third tank that Army knocked out, and also show you the side which our 1st Battalion maneuvered to flank the guys. Later, the 45th Regiment sent a battalion around to come in from the north side, which I think was the final straw on the enemy withdrawing from the area, realizing he was flanked on three sides.
Was this a 500-pound bomb?
Negative. That's a 700-pounder at least, and it wouldn't be surprised on 1,000. I haven't had some Air Force guys here, and they said 1,000-pound bomb.
Yeah.
It's quite a hole.
Yeah.
That would make years bleed if you landed in the same bunker. So then, infirmary, it's not infirmary,
this is the hospital you're
Yeah, they're still in. It's the pharmacy, excuse me. It's the pharmacy which one of the lieutenants of the 45th came up here. You see, we said it was full of medicine at the time. Okay, we're on the what we call, I'd say, the central east-west side, which is the area which our 1st Battalion maneuvered around to attack from. As you can see, it's got many layers of concertina wire, mines, and et cetera, that these guys had attacked to get to the enemy position on the west side. But it also, it was had a little depth late from the enemy position if he was back from the perimeter. So this is where our 1st Battalion came up and put pressure on this side. I'm about to carry now to the 3rd tank, which had pulled into a building to avoid being seen by air or by tow, which did a pretty good job because tow looked for him all one morning. Mr. Van assisting him trying to find it with the guys on the ground. And we never did find this tank to destroy. Arvin was given credit for the kill, but I don't know exactly what was it, attack air, artillery, tow, or wall. The Arvin said it was knocked out with a wall. So we give him credit. The guys went up there. There she is. Kind of bunker. Only we captured any in this area. None of them surrendered up here.
How many total do you think you killed over here?
I actually counted bodies around 40. But I think we killed much more than that because they had the ability, as I said, to evacuate and bring in fresh recruits and food and ammunition every night. So I don't really think that, I think we killed much more than that. I think it was probably I think in the end it was a company reinforced who had the mission do or die. Hold at all costs, and that's what they did.
Is this anywhere near where they wanted to surrender that was read about the newspaper?
No, the guys wanted to surrender up here on the road.
They only could say near
a couple of clicks. That came over my radio. My tank regimental commander came over and said, just talk to VC, they wanted to surrender. And by the time we got it all started and instigated, told division about it, the guy called back to told my regimental commander, don't transmit so much. And he cut him off. And I never heard from him again.
What do you think happened?
I think it was a radio operator trying to surrender the company. And I think when the leaders found out about it, they shot him.
I wouldn't take it this way because I think it's trapped.
But this is the other tank's right over here, John. You're on the other side of here. This tank, you see, just drove through that building. Yeah. As you notice again, the damn gun.
Did he back in or drive in forward?
He drove in forward. Was gun tube first.
Arvin was going to buckle and run, and then his infantry would have an easy job.
That's exactly what I figured.
And it worked at Tam Camp.
Yeah, I worked at Tam Camp.
It worked against the 42nd Division, but it didn't work against the 23rd Division. So the first night we got hit, this might be interesting, we captured one of the tank drivers of the tanks. And during interrogation, he stated that they were told that they were occupying a position that was already occupied by friendly infantry. And they just drove up there. And they had no intention of fighting a war. And then when they got there, there wasn't any infantry. To be exact, the infantry was behind the tank.
Somebody didn't get to work.
No, I personally think what it was is, it was the first night now, and the results of Tam Cam where the tanks was, again, the infantry, I heard, was 20 minutes behind the tanks. And they figured this drive up there were 4 tanks online, and were the tank drivers thinking they're going up to a friendly assembly area, and Arvin seeing them would run, and then the infantry would be able to secure without much trouble. But then when the 44th Regiment didn't run, and which I might say is a proud regiment. They got credit right now, verified by Americans, 14 tanks knocked out by walls. The MX-202. So these are not Arvin counts. These are verified by Americans. And they knocked out their tanks that day. Then the infantry came up. So this tank driver stated, the one we captured from the 320th of NVA Division, stated, they thought they were going into a position that was already secured by infantry. And this drove up there. And maybe the possibility was that they were using the NVA to say, we'll send the tanks up there, and Arvin's going to bug out. Can't really argue with his tactics. They worked pretty well with Tam Cam. Also, I don't know if it's been stated by other people you've interviewed, but the 320th NVA Division and the 2nd NVA Division, which were against us here, secured quite a few pieces of artillery from the 22nd Armored Division, 105s, 155s, and I don't know how much ammunition they got captured, but there seemed to be no shortage of 105 and 155 being fired at us when doing a battle. And quite accurately, I think they had people prepared to train to use our guns, our sticks, even use fusillade against us. I have a hole up there right outside of my bunker there. Was hit with a fusillade, 155. Being an artillery, I went out and took a crater analysis and saw where the burrs were on the artillery round. And it was definitely 155. So, not to include the 122s he brought down with him.
Did the tanks fire at all when they came in?
They did not fire direct fire. Tanks fired indirect fire when I was up on the hill there. I observed them firing indirect fire one night out here to the northeast of town before these same tanks here were out there. And they came in and they fired. Wait a minute, I want to check on something. Just putting gas in it, and we drove it out.
Say again on that tank.
The fourth tank I was telling you about, was in the area. It was in a building up here ahead, which we never knew was in here from the first time, from the beginning of battle till we occupied. And we found, could not find out where it was hit anywhere. There was booby traps inside, a couple of grenades were booby trapped. We got those out. We brought some Arvin M41s up here and pulled them out of the building area here, took it downtown. And find all we need to do is put gas in it, or diesel, and they're driving the tank around town. It never was hit or destroyed. Arvin Cav's having a ball, man. They just get that big tank there. They like that big tank. Also, the bad guys were in here. But the 45th Regiment, I'm telling you, the last battalion to come in the area, came in from the north here.
Yeah.
Get this way. Started assaulting these guys here. And the guys down here realized, well, we got guys here, we got guys here, we got only one door left open, and we better take it before it closes. And then they took off.
Let me further state it that, and I concur that this is ideal terrain, defensive, commanding terrain for the city of Tantum, highest point from which you can control the city.
Is there any specific
control the airfield, too?
And also the airfield.
Any specific name given to this place?
I don't know. That's my time, Bunsen. There's bad guys all over in those buildings there, too. That's where we try to flank them. I told you we tried to go around the east side.
Uh-huh.
We couldn't get in there.
Yeah, the water tower just on the outside of the perimeter area, which during the height of the battle, Major Loving states, was infiltrated by snipers who had a very effective position they could command the entire battle area from. It was destroyed almost totally by direct fire artillery, 155 and 105.
They got in there at nighttime. They couldn't get in at daytime. At nighttime they come in. So at nighttime, so we were still at this position.
You see the, if you look up there, let's see now.
Hey, see that machine gun ammunition on the belt up there?
Uh-huh.
See that piece of PSP sticking out right to
right.
The right out?
Right. Machine gun. Any bodies up there?
I ain't been up there to look. I see some bodies down here on the ground. Five shell cases. You know where they carry the round in? There's one hole there, and the other one's over in the other building. Shoot 75 at it.
They knew what they were doing, huh?
They knew what they were doing. They were all in those grass out there. The closest one got to us was killed on that mound of dirt right there. He got in a hole there and couldn't get out. The sun came out, and he tried to come up out the old sun. And there were 300 guys on this wall shooting at him. He didn't have a chance, man. Every man on the wall here. They find him out there. He tried to make a run. And, hey, The old wall. It was like, remember that movie, Sundance Kid? Do you remember the end scene when they were all standing up there? Whole Mexican army. That's where this wall was. 300 guys up here. And there's one guy here trying to run out of there.
Got any questions?
Took the prisoners over here about four. Snatched their ass out of there.
How well fed were they?
Huh?
What did they look like? The physical condition?
Good. I didn't see what they...
What was the morale like? Did they look?
Well, the morale was bad because they'd been in the weather, they'd been out in the terrain, and they were young kids, and they'd been hit, and very, very scared, which I don't blame them.
Remember what day that was?
No.
Particularly.
I don't have the slightest idea what day it was. I don't keep a log here. Call in. That's it. You can see all through here. All these trees are cut down by our children.
Uh-huh.